Get ready for Sharon Hughes.
It's unfortunate and tragic that I have to teach this committee the basic principles of Americanism.
That's not the question.
Saying it like it is.
What I like about it most is its honest and poignant commentary from a Judeo-Christian perspective. And in the world of punditry, there aren't many women out there giving that type of commentary. And I've got to tell you, that's one of the reasons why I love the show.
Bringing you familiar guests on important issues such as immigration, education, the Middle East, culture, religion, and the changing worldviews of Americans and the world.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.
Now here's Sharon with today's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Changing Worldviews. And today,
one of the key technologies of the Frankfurt School is critical theory. Recall the purpose of critical theory is to instill cultural pessimism. Thus, by endlessly portraying fathers as dominant, restrictive, depersonalized, and controlling, the cultural Marxist is able to invalidate the male component of the family unit.
I think talking about critical theory, which really comes from the cultural Marxist, and especially the neo-Marxist and the Frankfurt School, I think doing that helps people understand that this is a worldview.
You know, I just really appreciate people that think through the issues. They don't just believe whatever it says on the news or whatever the headlines are. They actually use critical thinking skills. They research history. They go to various voices, like we're trying to do here on the show, without prejudice, to get to the truth. Because if any of us know what fog of war is, that there's just like a fog that happens in war and you're just so busy fighting that you can't even stop to think, are we even heading in the right direction and being effective against the enemy? Well, there's a fog, a cultural fog, if you will, a fog of culture going on in our nation and around the world. I mean, we are fighting an enemy, not on the real battlefield, but the enemy of our soul, the devil, who is the father of lies. And just is looking, as Jesus said, to see who he can devour, that he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Destroy families, destroy individuals, destroy nations. And so as we look at this whole issue of being awake versus woke, and we step back and look, hopefully with clear thinking, at what is really going on, and what the agenda is of those who want to rule the world, well, I think we can be better prepared instead of scared for the day in which we live. And that's what this segment of the show is all about.
Hard-hitting on the issues, Sharon is not afraid to challenge the politically correct madness of our day and the progressive agenda that is fundamentally transforming our nation.
Every day begins with choices. From the moment we wake up, our day consists of endless opportunities to choose. Our choices are driven by our values, our dreams, and our faith. Sometimes we stand out for our choices. Other times we may not see how our choices affect those around us. Some choices are easy. Others require more serious thought and prayer. Americans have an important choice to make, a choice that will shape our nation for years to come. Join 90 million Christians as we cast our votes based on our faith, our hopes, and our prayers for America. Make the pledge to vote from a biblical worldview, because what we believe matters.
GFM for gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is actually turmeric, which is considered the gold spice, frankincense, which is boswellia, and myrrh to help address joint pain and to address the immune system and lots more.
This is Gail from California, and it seems like before I started taking Aloe Apex and the GFM, it was like walking uphill. Everything everything seemed to be an effort. And about 2 weeks after I started taking it, I noticed I was moving faster, had more energy, was doing stuff, and it was just like, wow. And then after about a month, it really started kicking in, and I was just so happy.
And if you go to apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can get a 25% discount. Or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433. Well, you might be surprised to find out the newest winner in cancer prevention. Can you guess what it is? Hold on. Drum roll, please. Coffee. Well, that's good news for those of us that are coffee drinkers. And according to CBN, all those cups of coffee that we have been drinking may have had an unexpected side benefit for women. According to new research just published, it could cut the risk of endometrial cancer. Women who drank about 4 cups a day had a lower risk of getting that type of cancer than women who drank less than a cup a day. And that is just plain good news. Okay, now, the documentary that I have recommended, Cultural Marxism.
One of the key technologies of the Frankfurt School is critical theory. Recall the purpose of critical theory is to instill cultural pessimism. Thus, by endlessly portraying fathers as dominant, restrictive, depersonalized, and controlling, the cultural Marxist is able to invalidate the male component of the family unit. Concomitant with this, by endlessly portraying mothers as schizophrenic, nagging, anxious, the cultural Marxist is able to invalidate the female component of the family unit. This two-punch invalidation, endlessly repeated in the general literature, movies, and media, gives rise to a pessimistic attitude towards the traditional family. After time, this pessimism becomes imbued into the culture. That's why it's said the product of critical theory is cultural pessimism. The message of cultural pessimism. 1. Families are boring, stifling, and intrusive. 2. Mothers and fathers suck. 3. Divorce is therefore understandable and justified.
Most contracts, the court system tries to sustain the contract. If you and I are doing business together and they're trying to protect that contract because the contract was entered into in good faith for good principles. However, although the marriage might have been entered into in good faith, by breaking that, they can put a lot of people to work. Not only the marital courts can go to work, they also the social workers that go to work. There's also a whole team of people, including the IRS, who prey off of them. And one court in Massachusetts says, we're going to bring this father to his knees and take all of his money from him. So there's a whole movement by the courts to make money off the dissolution of marriage.
After the mother and the father are finally done arguing or negotiating over custody of the children and possession of the assets, two new family homes are usually established. He lives here and she lives there. Each new household economy now has to have a redundant, otherwise superfluous set of rent or mortgage payments, energy and utility demands, and household furnishings and accoutrements. One up on men. 3. The male is portrayed as aloof, feminine, overly sensitive, and/or cheating. 4. Somewhere in the family, at least one of its immediate members must be a lesbian, gay, bisexual, or a women's libber. Often, attributes are mixed in various...
The principle of love is replaced in the media with the principle of lust. And the lust principle produces media that's constantly pushing the envelope.
1. The protagonist and or the antagonist are divorced. 2. The female is portrayed as dominant, controlling, violent, and/or one-up on men. 3. The male is portrayed as aloof, feminine, overly sensitive, and/or cheating. 4. somewhere in the family, at least one of its immediate members must be a lesbian, gay, bisexual, or a women's libber. Often, attributes are mixed in various proportions, and even mixed with a touch of schizophrenia, as males and females swap roles in fluorescence.
Same-sex marriage does not give you the balance of having a mother and a father so that you can learn different skills from them and you learn different personality types from them. By abolishing that, children are adrift.
Through endless repetition and media dissemination, androgynous elements are institutionalized as legitimate and eventually normal. Cultural pessimism has been taken to a whole new level. Complete tolerance for dysfunctional social structures and inefficient economic units. Proof that Christian values do not work.
Schools should be completely operated by parents. They should be in control, and therefore the parents can determine what values are taught to the students. If the school doesn't teach the values that that parent once taught to their children, then they can take the child out of that school and put him in another school which does teach those values.
The Supreme Court has been converted into a fighting ally of secularism in the wars against traditionalism in the United States.
With the success of cultural Marxism, hundreds of millions of nuclear families have been destroyed since 1965. This has contributed to, or caused, the decline of the middle class. Next will be the destruction of American capitalism. Unless the effects of cultural Marxism are recognized and handled,
there is a revolution coming. It will not be like revolutions of the past. It will originate with the individual and with culture, and it will change the political structure only as its final act.
Before the Romans crashed and burned, they had gone down the same road, only they called their social security bread and circuses. Bread and circuses will eventually crash the U.S. empire as well, if we interpret the term general welfare in the Constitution as an invitation for social security.
General is the problem.
What did the founding fathers intend when they wrote those words?
General welfare has been debated since the Constitution itself. Many of the founders were concerned that general welfare would be taken in the wrong sense, that it would be used to apply for, as we've done it today, as Hamilton wanted us to do it, to give the government license to do whatever it wanted and just to grab power.
The founders knew that Rome, and every society since the beginning of time, had poor, sick, and unfortunate. And many of these societies tried to help. For instance, in 1597, England had the Elizabethan Poor Laws enacted to provide what were known as the seven corporeal works of mercy. These works were to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, attend the sick, visit the prisoner, and bury the dead. But is this how you really promote the general welfare, the founders asked? Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, and you feed him for life. The founders were teachers. Their original intent was to set up a system that created fishermen.
The Constitution, if you want to have the Constitution mean what modern politicians think it should mean, then you don't need a constitution. In fact, you're better off without one. Just say, what do the modern politicians want us to do today?
The founders wanted to set people free from the system, or the matrix. That's what liberty is all about. They wanted general welfare to be the result of a self-governing, productive society. They wanted general welfare, not welfare in general.
It's a lot of information, but I think valuable. And I want to encourage you that you might listen to this another time. You can do that by going to our archives. Just go to changingworldviews.com. Post it on your social media for your friends to be able to hear what we brought today. So stay with me. When we get back from this last break, I'll tell you what's up for next week.
If you like what you're hearing on today's show, you could get even more information on our website at changingworldviews.com, full of useful information on all the subjects Sharon addresses on the show.
Hello, my name is Roger from Big Fork, Montana. I just wanted to call and say thank you for your product. After 65 years, digestive troubles, gallbladder, liver, and pancreas problems, this pill has been the answer for all the above. After just a few days, it's helped beyond. I just want to say thank you. You have a very good product.
And if you go to apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles of Aloe Apex at the special introductory price of $29.95 or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433, using the promo code Sharon Special.
On the field of battle, common men do uncommon things.
They volunteer to protect our freedom.
I was ambushed in Afghanistan on my third deployment.
My truck ran over an anti-tank landmine.
We've had phone calls interrupted by mortars.
We see the physical scars, but there's spiritual scars, a lot of pain.
We've been separated twice.
He was standing on the end of the bed, screaming at me, incoming, incoming, get down.
I would have a gun to my head.
I need my marriage to be saved.
Samaritan's Purse is wanting to try to save the marriages of these men and women who have served our country so valiantly.
This has given us hope.
Before we got here, our marriage was broken. It was falling apart.
It's amazing to see God take a hold of a life that has been damaged through war, and then all of a sudden come to a place where they realize they've got help that they haven't been able to find anywhere else.
It's a weekend retreat where it's focused again on marriages. We need your help. We need your support for us at Samaritan's Purse to be able to do programs like Operation Heal Our Patriots. We need people to stand by us financially to do it. It's an expensive program, but it's worth every penny investing in these men and women that have suffered so much for our freedom and for our nation.
Well, thanks for staying with me, everyone. Before we move on, it's time for this week's survival tip.
You know, with all the civil unrest and riots, the organic prepper, she talked about a distinct pattern that occurs when society breaks down and how when people become desperate, even poverty-stricken, lacking a moral compass, we see the kinds of things happen that we've seen happen recently in the streets of America. Outrage occurs, good people react and protest the outrage, and now you've got the tug of war going on. You've got a mob mentality that erupts, and they see no problem at all with looting, and then all quote-unquote hell breaks loose. The police are there, the military gets involved, cities are burned, neighborhoods are destroyed, nobody's safe, and this is not a movie scenario. So some of the things that you need to keep in mind, should something like this break out in your city and get out of hand, this writer suggests get home as soon as you can, have alternative routes for picking up your kids from school, which you've already discussed ahead of time with them, and you have multiple routes to get home just in case riots are breaking out in your regular route. And then once you get home, stay there, because this way you are minimizing your risk of being caught in the midst of an angry mob or, in the least, sitting in stalled traffic while looters run amok. So I hope you find that helpful. It's a good thing to be prepared. Well, I just want to take a minute here to talk a little bit about revisionist techniques. You know, historians who uncover new facts are sometimes unfairly accused of revisionism when the new facts upset long-held beliefs. But revision based on fresh evidence is not revisionism. As I said earlier, revisionism is when people rewrite history to support their own goals, political or social agenda, using a number of techniques to obtain their results. Among them are, number one, the selective use of facts. Number two, the denial or derision of known facts. Number three, the assumption of unproven facts. Number four, the fabrication of facts. And number five, the use of attractive or neutral euphemisms to disguise unpleasant facts concerning their own position. And then finally, they have constant attack against those disputing their views. An example of this, of course, would be the Holocaust. Denying the Holocaust, revisionists insist that they are correcting falsehood by minimizing the Holocaust. Some claim it never happened at all. And then, of course, there's the Soviet Union revisionism. During the era of the Soviet Union, dictator Joseph Stalin's regime actually employed a variety of revisionist tactics to ignore unpleasant events of the past, and Soviet school books would constantly be revised to remove photographs and articles that dealt with politicians who had fallen out of favor with the regime. Now, history has frequently been rewritten with past events modified so that they always portrayed Stalin's government favorably. And in the United States, many academic studies of communism by the so-called revisionist school, particularly those of the Communist Party of the United States, have generally taken a benign view of the party while minimizing Soviet atrocities and the totalitarian nature of government. And then there's political correctness. The politically correct movement in revisionism that can often be found in history materials targeted towards children and young adults, especially in classrooms. This type of revisionism effectively seeks to censor some of the less pleasant sides of history, lest it should cause controversy or hurt feelings.
Okay, so next week on the show, our plan is to talk about, are you prepared? And primarily thinking about the recession that we are in. I'm sure you heard about the fact that the White House is saying we're not in a recession, but all of the experts are saying, oh yeah, we are. So are we prepared? Are we prepared for a recession? Are we prepared financially and in every way for both ourselves and our families? So we're going to be looking at the details about what's really going on from reputable voices, not just those that try to sell you gold and silver or anything else. Not that I'm against gold and silver, but you know what I'm saying? So let me wrap it up with a favorite song by the Heritage Singers. It's a song you'll recognize, I'm sure, and is important because, you know, when we really see things, when we are awakened and we see reality about things that we didn't know before, or we didn't know this much about it, or just have our eyes open to see what in the heck is really going on, sometimes it can be very, very difficult and we need encouragement. And that is exactly what this song is for and why I want to leave you with this.
To you. Jesus, you're the reason I sing to you. I sing to you. I sing to you.
So thank you for joining me today, inviting me into your busy schedule. I hope that you found the information today helpful and that you'll be able to use it as you talk to others to help them know the truth about what's going on. And until I see you next time, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at Facebook.com/Sharon and Twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, ChangingWorldViews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.